I also started having an identity crisis when I went back to grad school and realized I don't know how to introduce myself anymore. People are asking me the question, what do you do? I don't know who I am.
I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Dan Smolin Podcast. We help people to navigate the future of work, to work that is profound, protects the planet, empowers people and communities, and is fun to do, meaningful work. The stories that our guests tell and the insights that they provide will inspire you to connect with work and experiences that stoke your passions and make the world a better place. For the future of work is meaningful work. The mission of the Dan Smolin Experience is to help people find success and enjoyment in the work that they do and hope to do. We believe there are four career journey components that get people to blissful work and career experiences, and they are dream, explore, strategize, and act. First, we encourage people of all ages, backgrounds, and levels of education and training to dream about the kind of work that they believe will make them happy and well-purposed. Next, we guide them to explore opportunities to do the work that they dream about. Then, we focus them to strategize, to align with the skill and experience needed to do the work and opportunities of their choosing. And last, we prod them to act, to seize on the opportunities to do the work of their dreams. We believe the key to success is intentionality, allowing dreams, explorations, strategies, and actions to happen fluidly. To truly be successful in the future of work, we must be career intentional about dreaming, exploring, strategizing, and acting throughout our lives. You can find useful and actionable resources on dansmolin.com. And when on the site, make sure to sign up for our free newsletter. Just click the newsletter tab on the top of our page, then click subscribe, and you will be on your way. In a dynamic future of work, agility is key, and our ever-changing dreams can help us align with future success. As people emerge from remote-only work, many are seeking advantages to guide them well through their current and future career acts. And our guest this week, Dr. Sarah Beth Burke, explains why it is important for people in the workplace to project unique value well by crafting and expressing their own hybrid professional identities. When asked what they do for a living, most people offer up their current job title, or they launch into a not-so-concise elevator pitch. But according to Dr. Burke, those responses deny people opportunities to express their unique skill, experience, agility, and relevance in a rapidly changing workplace. It also robs hiring managers of superhuman skills that their companies could leverage for revenue scale and market advantage. We cover a lot of ground in this episode, including how Dr. Burke engages people to create and express their own hybrid professional identities, how such identities impact the future of work, and her journey to overcome career stagnation and ultimately become the chief creative disruptor. I spoke with Dr. Sarah Beth Burke in September 2021 over Zoom. Dr. Sarah Beth Burke, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dan. I'm so excited for this conversation today.
And I am too, my friend. Good to see you. So let's get started. You are the founder of More Than My Title. What is that? And how would you describe your unique value to people?
Yeah, More Than My Title is a book that I wrote that has turned into a platform and a movement where I'm trying to help people realize we're in a world that's more than just experts and generalists. That binary is really pigeonholing people, and it's problematic. And I felt that in my own career. I'm sure we can unpack that more in our conversation today. But essentially, being more than your title is letting people see, how are you really showing up in your work? How are you more than just a label that's been assigned? People are multifaceted. We know that. And I have a hypothesis that people can actually be hybrid, and that hybrid professional identity is a unique way of being in the world. And that's what I'm helping write and research and share, is hybridity is a competitive advantage, and it sits alongside experts and generalists. So be more than your title. And I'm helping really give language and definition around that to shift the workforce.
So take us through the backstory. How did you get here?
I know. It's a good one. So my background is really based in art and art education. I went to undergrad in art school, grad school in art education, and then I did my PhD in curriculum studies and instruction. So obviously, I love teaching, I love learning, I love creativity. But when I was in the classroom, I felt really stuck, right? Here I am teaching art, but I'm so much more than that. I was building websites on the side. I was selling art on Etsy. People didn't see these other sides of me. And I just accepted the label that I was given as Sarah Beth, the art teacher or program coordinator. And eventually I knew I wanted to share more of my potential and expertise and break out of these boxes. And I didn't know how. How do you shapeshift from going from one label to another or have a big career transition? And people would just tell me, oh, go back to school, get a degree, or, you know, just start applying to jobs outside of teaching. But I wasn't getting traction. So I did go back to get a degree. And when I was doing that program, I thought it was the credential that was going to get me a leadership role and help people see me as an administrator so I could shift and transform school. That's what I wanted to do at the time. But I also started having an identity crisis when I went back to grad school and realized, I don't know how to introduce myself anymore. People are asking me the question, what do you do? I don't know who I am. I was a teacher. I don't want to use that. I'm a grad student, but that's a temporary identity. I really don't know what I'm doing next. What the heck? Like, this what do you do question is terrible. It caused a lot of anxiety. And it was around that time that I started learning about race, class, and gender and intersectionality, that you can have privilege and oppression in your different identities. And I got really curious just about professional identity. I thought, we're not really unpacking just that part of us as humans. I feel like I have many professional identities. That's what I was running up against. So I turned that into my dissertation topic and started observing people and interviewing them in different fields and industries and saying, how do you answer the what do you do question? How are you more than your job title? And eventually the research question became, who are you at the intersection of your multiple professional identities? Because time and again, people started listing all the different hats they wore under their job title. And I saw that pattern. And that's when I realized, wait a second, something's happening in this intersectional space. You can actually blend and merge different professional identities and people are not aware of it. It's not conscious. It's not something we have language and vocabulary about. And it was through this dissertation work that I stumbled upon hybridity. I was like, that's actually what's happening that we are not expressing. It's not being multiple. It's not wearing a lot of hats. It's suddenly converging into an integrated identity. That's the sum of all of your parts. So that's kind of my backstory of how I got here, was my own crisis leading me into research and making this a whole project to unpack myself and others.
So as a former headhunter, with 20 years of listening to, so tell me about yourself, Sarah Beth. This is all fascinating to me, because when I asked that question, or when I asked that question, past tense, I'm not a recruiter anymore, I would get chapter and verse. And I think the reason for that is people are insecure in owning their identity. And why is that? Because we live in a demand-structured world. You go to get hired for a job, I am going to tell you what I think you want me to tell you, as opposed to what my real value is. And that works for hiring, but it doesn't lend itself to personal success, and for that matter, retention on the job. So how does this all play out? How do you propose we, who don't have a hybrid identity, go about the process, at least of getting it started, so we can get to that succinct branding entity.
Yeah, and let me just lay a little foundation for a second for people that are new to some of this. I have a framework that I believe there are three types of professional identities in the workforce, and all three matter. So I want people to understand it's not that one is better than the other. So the framework essentially of the three types is singularity, multiplicity, and hybridity. I think people fit in one of three categories. So if you have singularity, we typically call those people experts or specialists, because singularity is one professional identity. Multiplicity is where people have many professional identities, generalist, jacks of all trades, multi-hyphenate. There's at least 20 or 30 words I've found for that category. And then the third type, which really has been missing in this spectrum, is the hybrid. And hybrid is where you're integrating. That's different than just being multiple, right? So I think of a Venn diagram and the circles are overlapping, and it's who you are at that intersection is a hybrid professional identity, because we don't actually have a word or a title or a categorization of who you are in the intersection. So I say this because as we're talking about recruiting and headhunting and the future of work, I think it's important that we're still recruiting for experts, generalists, and hybrids. It's just we need to open space and permission for a hybrid version of talent. So I'm seeing this a lot in roles. I even can find job descriptions now that are appearing that are either implying explicitly or sort of suggested that this is a hybrid position, meaning we need someone who's cross-functional, who has expertise in coding, but also understands storytelling and design. It's like, whoa, how does that go together? Mm-hmm. When you see those kinds of opposites, things that have tension or contradiction in a role, that's usually an indication of something that's hybrid that the recruiter, the job poster, whoever didn't know to use the language of hybridity. And then for the job applicant, the people that are seeking these roles, I think the reason we haven't talked about identity in the workforce is we've focused so much on skills. What do you do? That's the actions. And what are you passionate about? Why are you doing it? So we sort of just focus on those two areas and we forget to say, hey, Dan, who are you?
Exactly.
Yes. And so that's the side of the conversation. I think work is a three-legged stool, the passion, the purpose, and identity. I want people to start asking the identity question. Tell me who you are. I see 10 job titles on your resume, but what do you call yourself outside of that? Because you, and this is all of us in the workforce, get to decide what our professional identity is. Identities can be assigned to us, but also designed or ascribed. That's the sort of wake-up call I'm giving people is, if you want to be a certain kind of professional or be seen a certain way, you have to call yourself that. So just to give my personal example, I call myself a creative disruptor. That's my hybrid title. And it describes really the summary of who I am at the intersections. I have four professional identities in my Venn diagram. They're being an artist, an educator, a researcher, and designer. So when I merge those together, something different comes out, and that's Sarah Beth, the creative disruptor. I use that language in interviews. I use that language with clients. And if I've been in a formal role in a big organization where I'm Sarah Beth, the director of this program, I'll actually do a double intro of I'm Sarah Beth, I'm the director, but I also call myself a creative disruptor because that's why I'm so successful in this job. Let me explain what that means to you. And that really helps people see me differently. It has opened more conversation and better relationship building. So I know I gave you a lot of sides to that answer, but I felt like I needed to bring it all to the front.
One of the skills I think most people don't do well, but they really could do well, is storytelling.
Yes.
And think about the beauty of what you've created here for people. So Dan, tell me about yourself. Well, my hybrid brand is Future of Work Sherpa. Now, that is one that stops people in their tracks and go, okay, what is that? Tell me what that is. And I explain to them, my body of work deals with the future of work, where we work, how we work, who we are, when we work, et cetera, et cetera. The Sherpa is the unsung hero who gets you up to the mountain, who gets you to the goal, right? You know, they're the unsung hero, but they have to help you dream. They are taking you on an exploration. They work with you to develop strategies to get to that point, and then they get you intentional. You've got to act on your dreams. You've got to act on your impulses, because oftentimes we miss these great opportunities. I created that. And interestingly enough, Sarah Beth, I did that before I even knew who you were.
I love it.
Out of necessity. Mm-hmm. Out of necessity, because my earlier iterations were so nuanced that, you know, I kind of felt the eye roll coming.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do the eye roll. You got about 10, 15 seconds to make a good impression. The elevator pitch is yesterday. It's really, here's my brand statement. Here's my hybrid identity. And I have to tell you, especially on LinkedIn, it has scaled me. Mm. And I'm sure you found the same thing for yourself.
Yeah. When we talk about the digital spaces, it's a funny beast because it's a two-sided part, right? Like you want to stand out, but also there are algorithms in the background that are looking for certain keywords. And if you break out of those boxes, you will not be searched. So I think it's a combo strategy is what I'm finding for people. Use your hybrid title, Future of Work Sherpa, and then plant some of the familiar language so LinkedIn knows how to find you. But I think you're right. It does make you stand out when you do it effectively, because the humans that are reading about you are going to be excited and curious and go, wow, I need to talk to Dan. And I just want to point out, you're doing something very special too in that Future of Work Sherpa, where you could have said, I'm a Future of Work coach. I'm a Future of Work strategist, like using that, those terms that are pretty generic and common, but you actually found a word that is more complete, more authentic, more true to what you do. And I love how you just defined it, because your lens of Sherpa is really expressive of how you are in the world.
Yeah, it's not about me. I'll get you there. I'll help you figure out how to do it, but it's not my journey, it's yours. And that's why I came to that. So I think this is all important, because one aspect of the future of work is kind of owning not only your identity, but owning your career journey.
Yeah.
And over the past 40 years that I've been in the work world, it wasn't necessarily that case. You fill the demand driver for talent. And so think about it. We got degrees based on what I think my hiring manager will want me to have. I'll work at companies that I think he or she wants me to work at. And I'll try to cobble together the kinds of experiences that I think that person would expect. The problem with that is that the world is now changing so rapidly that we have to be agile enough to ride very frequent and seismic change, not only in the workplace, but in the work that we do. I think what you have set out to do enables us to do that. It changes the focus of the dialogue on you, the hiring manager, to me, the talent.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
That was so well said. I think the demand driver part really caught my attention, of just the marketplace is shifting. The employees have, I think, a little bit more power than they realize. It's not just what the companies want. And I think careers are spanning, what, 40, 50 years now. So we're seeing all kinds of shifts. People are expected to have 9 or 10 jobs across their lifetime in 4 different industries. I mean, that's very different than prior generations. So this idea, what I'm hearing too, is external validation is shifting. It's more about the internal validation of who you think you are, who you want to be, plus how the world sees you and what they need from you, and finding that balance and having awareness that you need to internally validate. Like, we don't emphasize that in career coaching. If you're going to know yourself and know what you're doing in your work, it starts with you and self-reflection, as well as looking at your talents and what you're enjoying. And that's, I think, a little bit of the conversation I want more people to have is, how do you see yourself? Have you stopped to ask yourself that question? Like, let go of all the labels. The number one reason people suffer so much when they lose a job or they're pushed out of the workforce is the identity crisis. They've put so much of their self-worth in their job title. Without the job title, they're like, I don't know who I am. And it can really be a negative spiral. But actually, you get to decide who you are. It's not about that external part. So I think this is a greater shift happening that we're living right now. So we'll see how it unfolds.
Well, I'm especially interested in how it plays out in the recruitment aspect. You know, the old demand driver, again, I'm using that hackneyed term, was my hiring manager called me up and said, Dan, find me X, Y, and Z. So I'm finding people with deep skill and experience and a certain attribute of the work that they're doing. That gets them in the door, and then they get interviewed. Let me explain to you the problem with that. The person can do the job, and if they're interviewed, surely they're going to be enthusiastic. I can be enthusiastic about doing the job. The third part of that three-legged stool you talked about is, will we hate them after 45 days or 90 days? Right. The fit check.
Yes.
I think what you allow people to do, both hiring managers and talent, is to flip the process around to see, should we even be talking? Do we like each other? Do you bring something to this company or organization that we don't already have? And why I think that's important is, I don't know about you, but the workplaces that I supported were overwhelmingly white and male.
Yeah.
And that's got to change.
Absolutely. We all know we need cognitive diversity as well as individual diversity because it's healthier and it's more equitable and right. inclusive. So I think we all agree on that. Yeah, I want to play off of some of this recruitment side and what's shifting there. And I really like where you're going with this. A key phrase I'm seeing that's really effective that I think we need to play with more is work at the intersections of X, Y, and Z. So that's both for the employee saying, I work at the intersection of art, design, and research, or the recruiter saying, we need talent who is working at the intersection of digital marketing, you know, influencer strategy and cybersecurity or some weird combination where they see the needs and they're not just listing them. They're saying we need an intersectional human because there are people today who legitimately have two different master's degrees and 10 years in this industry and some weird certification over there. And they fit that intersectional request. I see companies feeling shy or they kind of make fun like, oh, that's a unicorn. We'll never find this person. And I just want to push back and say, have you even asked? Have you even set the stage of saying, these are the parts of what we're looking for? Does anyone fit that in this combination? And I believe they do. And so I think the conversation is really about stating up front, we need someone at the intersections of these things, and then talk about that in these interviews and application processes, not be afraid of it. And then to what you said a moment ago, it's about the fit, right? Mm-hmm. If I show up and say, okay, I see you're looking for these two things, but I'm also bringing these two other identities you didn't even know I had to the table. And through our interview conversations, I'm learning, wow, they're leaning so heavily just on those two parts of the role. They're going to deny and compartmentalize these other things I'm bringing. That's not a good fit because I'm going to feel uncomfortable after 45 days. On the other side, if the hiring team can open their minds and be like, wow, this is actually bringing more value. This is a more interesting value prop than what we even imagined. The ROI on hiring that person, I believe, could be 5x because they're going to be more productive, more engaged, and bring more to the table than what the company even realized. That, I think, is something we need to allow for more in these conversations.
Considering one's humanity in the hiring process lends itself to retention. Mm-hmm. When you don't do that, that's when after 18 months, 2 years, I would get the phone call. I've done everything that I can do here. That's ridiculous. I mean, why are you spending all this money to hire somebody if you're not thinking about the lifetime investment?
Great question.
Yeah. And most people don't have an answer to that, and they should. So you said something interesting before, and it was that you had a background in art instruction. And I really get that. I love what's behind you. Did you do those?
Actually, no, but I love these. The images behind me are circles because they're emblematic of Venn diagrams and this idea of convergence.
Well, it's a great triptych and I really enjoy it. My wife and I, beyond all the work we've ever done, have been involved in secondary art trade for many years. And so, you know, my eyes go to the art on the walls.
I love it.
But on the subject of all that, you mentioned that, you know, beyond the work that you do, you're selling work on, I believe you said Etsy, right?
That was years ago when I was a little bit younger and more in my art making phase. But yes, go on. I didn't want to.
So my wife, who is a gifted public school teacher here in Virginia, she doesn't just teach. She has businesses on Poshmark and Etsy, and she's selling objet d'art and vintage clothing and jewelry and stuff like that. That is part of her story. So I bring this up because, do you think that lends itself to the hybrid story? Should it? And if it is valuable, how does that play out in telling your story to a future hiring manager or a company to work for?
Yeah, I love this question. I think you're right. More people have side hustles or gigs or are entrepreneurial in ways that are outside of, quote unquote, the job description they're holding full time. And where does that play in and where does that factor in to your story of your professional identity? So a couple thoughts on this. First of all, people can have many, many, many professional identities. When I talk to people and say, tell me who you are, they'll tell me 5, 10, 15 things they do. And usually people start with what they do, the actions, before they understand how to convert it to an identity word. So I just want to add that caveat. So then we get into the identity word list. And that's one of the exercises I do with people is let's actually lay them out on a piece of paper. Have you listed all of your identities? But what's happening is some of these identities are your primary professional identities, and some I call are your secondary or tertiary. The difference is primary identities are the ones you're using the most frequently in your work, you love the most. People will often list identities they don't want to be doing. I'm like, okay, we're going to separate those out. So we need to isolate just your primary professional identities. And usually it has to be a minimum of two. If you're a hybrid professional, two identities makes one intersection. And the maximum is four. That's because the more identities, the more complexity of the hybridity. And truthfully, in identity research, you can only manage so many identities in a given moment. You can't be 10 professional identities at a time, but you can be up to four. So when we do this brainstorm and then we narrow and isolate just to the primary professional identities, if you are a hybrid professional and you believe you are intersecting and merging identities, your hybridity is based on that foundation of 2, 3, or 4 primary. All the other identities, so if you've got your side hustle or you're on Etsy or you're doing websites, are those core to you or are they just nice to have? And that's part of your story. So I help people focus and say, oh, okay, I really just need to be telling people about these 2 or 3 identities that are core to me and then show how that creates my hybridity. And that's your unique value integrated space. Then it's an option if you want to talk about the secondary professional identities, because that might just be more conversational or a way to build more bridges with people. But it's up to kind of the given moment to know when to bring those in and when to just focus on your foundational primary ones. Does that make more sense, Dan?
It does. It does. So I have one more question for you, and it has to do with this shared experience we've all had of being remote working for the better part of 2 years now, almost 2 years, where we've learned about the where and the when of hybrid work, which is that we don't have to be all be co-located, you know, tight quarters in one office 5 days a week and then commuting, you know, another 2 times 5 every week to get from point A to point B. So the where and the when, we know we can hybridize that. It's the who part that I think we're learning about, and you're helping us get there. How has this experience that we've all shared affected hybrid identity? What have you learned about how we flexed our muscles over the past 18 months, 24 months or so, that is shaping the study that you're involved in?
Yeah, it's a great question. So let me back up just a little bit to get into the question. I've been studying about hybrid professional identity for almost a decade now. So I've been using this term and thinking about it for a while before we entered this world of hybrid work. So that just that little caveat. And then I've realized we're using this word hybrid work everywhere. It's become so popular in the media, and it's also over misused. I think hybrid work is 3 big factors. It's the hybrid workplace, it's hybrid jobs, and it's hybrid workers. And when we break that down, it actually becomes more interesting to understand the dynamics of organizations and the economy and the workforce. So hybrid workplaces is what we really are intending when we say hybrid work in the media. It's the remote versus the in-person combination. The hybrid jobs or hybrid work is where the jobs themselves are being hybridized. It's usually when 2 departments are being merged or a biz dev ops role is being created, right? You're combining work into something new. And then the hybrid workers is the identity piece. These are individuals in companies or working independently who have multiple identities and are in the intersections and don't know how to talk about it and keep saying, I wear a lot of hats because they don't know what else to say. So those are the 3 things I want to start unpacking because they mean something different and they're all interconnected. Then stepping to your question about how has this moment of COVID and hybrid work affected the research I'm doing? On one hand, the word hybridity wasn't as well known. So it's given me more traction to talk about hybrid professionals because everyone's has this buzzworthy moment of, oh, hybrid work, hybrid people, let's talk. Except they don't really understand what I mean. So it's giving me a crack of the door opening, but we're not fully through yet. But then just recently, I've noticed there's starting to be a negative connotation about hybridity. So I used to coach people to say, call yourself a hybrid professional. It helps explain your combination of identities. But someone told me, Sarah Beth, I put this in a cover letter recently, and someone pushed back and said, don't call yourself that because this hybrid work world is getting a little too crazy. So if you're associating yourself from an identity point of view, people just are like taking it the wrong way in this given moment. I think it's just a point of time. But then the last way I want to answer your question, I think as people have been through so much with the pandemic and racial injustice and just their lives changing, it has been a deep moment of identity reflection. People's values have changed, beliefs have shifted. They've questioned why they're in the roles they're in and how they want a better life for themselves, spending time with their family, whatever it is. So I think COVID has really made people self-examine and reconfigure, well, who do I want to be now post-pandemic? The who am I question, I think, has been more at people's minds. So I think it's a moment in time where helping educate people that hybridity is an option that they may have already been doing or maybe just want to transition into, because it can be a developmental thing going from multiple into hybrid. So I think with hybrid identity, it's been more, let's showcase what this is and allow people to start to understand themselves differently in the workforce. And that's really where I am right now with this. It's a lot of learning and awareness building. And then the practical application, that's where my courses and handouts and the book come into play because no one else is teaching this. We're missing, okay, so I get that I'm a hybrid, but so what, now what? I need to learn how to tell my story, build my hybrid brand, find my hybrid title. And that's somewhere between career development, personal branding, and identity research. That's the intersection I've created to do this work.
Dr. Sarah Beth Burke, you are in the right place at the right time, impacting the future of work. I mean that. I am so impressed by you, and I'm so glad that Clubhouse brought us together. That's how I found you. So on that note, you are on Clubhouse every week. I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners about that and how they can find you there.
Yeah, I would say find me, first of all, on Clubhouse and hit the little alert button because I get invited to multiple clubs. So the schedule is a little bit variable, but I'm in the Human Skills Club a lot with Todd McLeese. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, at least once or twice a week, I'm doing a room. And beside that, I offer workshops and courses. So I'm starting a month-long cohort experience because I've run a number of weekend workshops to help people find their hybrid professional identity. And the feedback I've gotten is we want more time. We want to slow the pace down. And people really love the community experience because they're sharing identity words and these aha moments happen all the time. So those are the best places to find me on my website, morethanmytitle.com. on Clubhouse, or follow me on social at More Than My Title.
This has been so much fun, and I hope you will come back because this is an unfolding story for sure.
Very much. Oh, Dan, I enjoyed this immensely. I would come back anytime for you.
Back at you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Links to Dr. Sarah Beth Burke's social media are included in the show notes for this episode at dansmolin.com. Meantime, if you haven't done so, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you get them, or listen to current and past episodes on our website at dansmolin.com. And please take a moment to positively rate and comment wherever you listen to the podcast, because that helps us to connect with new listeners. I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Dan Smolin Podcast. Thank you for joining us on an amazing journey to the future of work, doing meaningful work. And do remember this, our best days lie ahead. Let's connect again next week.